SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
La 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 la
la la la la la.
Yeah.
It's time for Moneyline, your place to be for the madness of March, with your host, Kevin Walsh.
The cap is still there, but the price is still good. I'm going to bet this. I went a little 3-0 on a three-pack of college basketball. It was a nice weekend in that way. I mean, look, I'm an eligible bachelor, so.
And Donnie Wrightside.
Now, hold, like, I love Slander. Like, Slander is so much fun. Like, nobody was defending the wideout. What a 15-yard out. Like, thank God. Like, I don't think I could make it in this world anymore. 1 minute, I'd be like, I'm out of questions for this. Girl, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, what did you think about the game last night? That's minute number two already.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159.
It is Wednesday. No better place to be than right here, right now. Sirius XM, channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. You got it. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin, and we're here for the next 2 hours because it's the eve of Major League Baseball season. Now, Kevin, I got to tell you right now, perusing around, like as of yesterday, I love baseball. No, once baseball starts, I don't know, it could be in 3 weeks, who knows? No, it's actually tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. That was like my feeling yesterday. Now I'm reading through things, going over articles, and realizing we are on the cusp of something so sensational with the adjustments made that now all of a sudden I'm feeling like it's football season tomorrow.
Really?
The
energy is finally here.
It really is. Yeah.
I have to tell you, this morning, and I'm hoping that this then did the same for the folks that tuned into the early line this morning got me ready. This look, going into yesterday, doing research, giving out the pick six for people, giving out World Series previews and predictions. I felt that energy this morning. Where if there were games on today, I'd be ready to go for sure.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good times. Now, obviously, with all the changes to Major League Baseball, as I like to put them, every single one of them better than the next. But I read an article today from ESPN, Jeff Passan, behind a paywall. So if you have ESPN Plus, I've had it for years just because, you know, there's a million college basketball games and other things you can watch on there. But it's basically saying, hey, you know, went in deep dive here inside of Major League Baseball, from players to owners to front office guys to everything you can involve. And then basically sounding like the pitch clock is the single greatest invention of all time. And it really should be. It sounds so, like, redundant. Like, what do you mean there's going to be a clock for pitching? Think about this. A baseball game that everybody complains about. Old heads, new heads, young kids, and alike. Man, nothing happens in this game. Yeah, because they pitch every 3 minutes. One pitch. And it's a ball, and they do the same thing. You're going to get the same amount, if not more, scoring and more action all at once in a shorter, condensed time frame. It would be like me coming on and going, yo, Kevin, you know what makes a football game better? Put in 17 more commercial breaks. I love the breathing of the game, Kevin. Like another commercial break to see what that 3rd and 2 is going to be when we come back out of it. Stop it. This pitch clock is going to be sensational. And for the people right now, I feel, Kevin, that are just complaining about it because they haven't watched baseball since last year. It's so stupid, man. I can't believe they're putting it in. Trust me, tomorrow, you'll watch that game and be like, this is fantastic. This is outright. Look at this.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, it feels stark. Now, you know, the other day I actually had a Yankees spring training game on. I don't know whose idea was putting like a massive behind the scoreboard clock. That's one of the worst ideas of all time. You can't now. It like they put it just a little on the score bug in the same way that they do in the NBA. Like, cause you. My point always was, you don't want anybody thinking about the pitch clock. It's just there. It should be a rarity in the same way that the NBA shot clock is not something you think about. College basketball shot clock, you don't think about. It occasionally matters, right?
Yes. 2 seconds. Put it up there.
About it.
Yes, just like in any in the NFL, in the NBA, college basketball. When the clock is running, they don't show the clock on the screen, 24, 23, 22. They don't do that because that's stupid. But when the clock gets down to 5, you need to know what's going on. Same thing with baseball. I don't need the clock at 15 seconds, Kevin. I don't need to see a countdown from 20. All I need to see is 3, 2, 1 if he's not there. And trust me, Pitchers, they don't need the clock either. They're going to glance up with like 11 seconds on the clock and go, yeah, all right, here we go. I'm in my windup, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. But for the fact of the matter, if you're upset about a pitch clock, I don't even know what we're complaining about, Kevin. Like, what is the complaint against the – honestly, I'm being serious. And nobody – this is like, Donnie, you hate soccer. You're such a hater on this and that. No, I love Major League Baseball. I should be the one, Kevin, screaming about pitch clocks and ghost runners. You're messing with my game because I love it. You got to be kidding me. There is no downside to a pitch clock. None. Zero.
So to back what you just said there, this morning DRS was in a foul mood because players can wear zero in the NFL. I noticed, you can always tell if Donnie's having a good time or he means it. He means it. I can't believe that that's a real thing. I have no idea why. One of the most ridiculous complaints I've ever seen. I'd love to listen for like 6 minutes to hear why this really bothers him. It makes no sense to me. So yes, Donnie really does not like when just normal things change. And this is obviously a massive, massive thing. Here's, again, as I try and offer up the counter side of it, one of the issues they ran into, though, what was the first time people started really talking about that pitch clock was a game ended on a pitch clock violation. People were like, whoa, that can't be. We can't have that. And I, by the way, I agree. Nobody's looking for that to happen. Nobody wants the game to end on a pitch clock violation. But as we get more and more adjusted to it, that really should not happen.
Here's what's going to happen, Kevin. First month of the season, here's what I would like baseball to do this. First month of the season, have a pitch clock. Second month, don't have it, and people will be screaming that they need it back in their lives. That's how good this is going to be. Tomorrow is going to be sensational. Get ready, buckle up. We got you covered, and also, we're going off topic. Stay tuned right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here, hour number one. It is Moneyline. As I'm watching on my TV, Odell Beckham Jr. remains available in free agency despite begging at the owner's convention, I guess, to try to get a job and still hasn't had one. Look, I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. Like, I know a few things about how this is working out, and that's what we're getting out of it. So, yes.
Wow. Sources say Odell has been pleading with all 32 franchises.
This guy's been the most sought-after free agent in the history of football. It's something nobody wants to offer him a contract. But that's neither here nor there. Life inside of sports, Kevin, like we're in the content business, but life goes on outside of the content business. Sure, now, it was brought to my attention here, and again, these aren't things that we scope out. These aren't things that we plan and say, how about next Thursday we start talking about this stuff? The idea of a bachelorette party, whatever parties that you want here, right? It's typically, you're going to get married about 2 weeks before. Now, this is normal. 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the wedding date, the guys go out for a night. Hit a bar, hit a gentleman's club, do some gambling, and rent a limo, and everybody makes it home safe, and wish you good luck on your marriage. We'll see you in 3 weeks on the wedding day, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there are some places and some people that take it to extremes, which we're going to get to in a second. Now, having said that, I've been the best man twice for a bachelor party, but it was just the normal bachelor party. Rent a limo, you got 8 hours, you're going to AC, you're going to Philadelphia, you're going around the bout, you're having a couple cocktails, the boys are cracking on each other, and a good night had by all. That's a typical bachelor party. Mm-hmm. Now, you're saying you have a bachelor party that's coming up, and also it does matter. If you are in the actual wedding itself, the best man, or one of the 5 or 10, whoever has it now, that many groomsmen, it's sort of a part of you have to go. Otherwise, it might be a little bit disrespectful. But then again, most people are going to go, hey, man, it's a free night out. I'm going to tell my wife, my girlfriend, hey, but I'm in the bachelor party. I'm in the wedding. I can't not go to this, even though they probably want to go and would have a good time at that. But having said that, there are other extravagant ways to do it. Like I see sometimes pop up my timeline. Girls' night in Nashville, where they live in upstate New York, and that's where the bachelorette party's in Nashville for like, 3 or 4 days or a long weekend. Like, that's kind of interesting here. Or, hey, we're all going to Vegas, which I credit this. Let's just say if you have a bachelor party in Vegas. Are those people in the bachelor party married or have girlfriends? Like, that's like, how does that get okayed? Like, we're going to start there. If I told my wife right now, my buddy's getting married again, he's very well off, He's paying for first-class tickets. We're going to Vegas. We're staying at the Bellagio, you know, penthouse suites, 4 days. Love you, babe. I'll be back. That doesn't fly anywhere, any shape, or any form. So I always wonder how people actually get away for those. But yeah. Tell your side here of what we're looking at.
So to give all the relevant pieces of information, relevant piece, I think, number one is, I have never been to a bachelor party. Okay. So I don't, like, this came up because I asked Donnie a question, because I know that Donnie has, and I don't have any experience of the nature. Mm-hmm. Now, there's preliminary conversations going on. I guess the way it works, I don't know if things have changed, but is the group of guys that are going to be invited, basically, the best man is given a layout of potential ideas from the actual groom, you know, places he'd like to go, mm-hmm. things he'd like to do. And then it is up to the best man to coordinate with the people that the groom would want there. Now, I'm not the best man. Admittedly, though, I am near, like, the top. Like, I'm in the party. I'm a big part of the, I don't know, whatever. So it, my presence not being there would be a bit surprising, right? And I never would want to miss. However, I'm watching the preliminary conversations break out, and it's looking like a four-day trip to Puerto Rico. Now, that is, for I'm sure some people, wow, tremendous. That sounds like the best time of all time. That's great. My initial hesitations is that this is supposed to be a November thing.
Whoa.
And here's the big difference between me and I imagine everybody else, not to act like I'm special, but, and I know this is going to lead right into a bit out of Donnie, so we'll see if he can, but when they try and put this together, and they say, hey, listen, you know, hopefully most people have no problem getting off a Thursday and a Friday, I know the rest of us are off weekends, and then we're in the heart of football season, and I got to miss Thursday night football, Friday preview show, Saturday. Now, who knows what the schedule looks like next year, but just based on what I did this past year, missing Saturday, missing Sunday. That's actually my four most important days of work are Thursday through Sunday, essentially.
Yes. Now, the tough part is, again, like the joke in there, I was like, well, you were really bad last year, so you might not even be on either one of those shows. So
Exactly.
So back in the room, everybody's laughing. Like, hey, Kevin, take all the days you need in football season. Absolutely. We don't need you anyway. All right, so we get that out of the way. Now, from my perspective, there's no more of a homebody than me. And also, Kev, no person that loves an island more than me, which means warm weather, tropical water, I'm in on that. I love that. Mm-hmm. But having said that, you still have to shell out money because I'm not a cheap person by any stretch. But, you know, limos, this is one night. Limos and dinners and drinks where the best man takes care of the groom, it's not cheap. You know, hey, everybody put in, like, and nobody put, trust me on this. You rent a limo, it's like a grand for the night. It's like, you know, you got guys in the back throwing like $10 in. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You know what I mean? So we get that out of the way. But 4 days. Again, who gets off for this? And who would ask for this? Like, hey, I'm getting married to my sweetheart. Man, we've been together 5 years. I can't wait for the wedding day. Mm-hmm. Hey, babe, we're going to have a blowout in Puerto Rico. And she goes, well, first of all, I would like to go to Puerto Rico, which probably what they would say right away. And secondly, it's like, what are you doing for 4 days in Puerto Rico on a bachelor party? It doesn't sound like you guys are going down to have a nice meal, smoke a cigar, and everybody's in bed by 8, and I'll see you at the pool next day. That's not what's going to take place. So for the people that can actually get away, first of all, I say with this. Put it this way, and I don't know the guy. I don't know who's getting married. I'm not trying to slander here.
No, but I like it. So please do.
But yeah, exactly. But if the woman is involved and okay with this, that's 6 months. Well, that's 6 months, man. 6 months.
Whoa, back on the street. Oh, never mind. Yeah. Don't say. Yeah. It. No, that's outrageous behavior.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. That comes up in my mind. If the girl's like, awesome, babe, have the greatest 4 days of your life, I'm questioning where she thinks now she's taking her bachelorette party.
Right, yeah, like all, yeah. So that's the, again, that's what, like 4 days is not a little thing. It's a lot of thing, right?
Yes.
Like, that's, now, I'm guessing that's like a, well, it's really 2 days because, I mean, Saturday and Sunday, I mean, nobody has to do anything, which is where I'm in a different spot there. Although, like, usually you would think, like, someone would respect the heart of football season. Like, I don't need to be on them. Like, but apparently not. And look, because that's the thing, it's really not even about the money of it. Though it is not cheap to get there for 4 days. Not,
no.
Like, none of that's been paid for. Like, I'm not, that's not my buddy saying, like, listen, fellas, I know this is a lot, but it's all comped on me. I just want you guys there. That's not the situation. Everybody's paying for flights to Puerto Rico, a place to stay, and then everything that happens in between.
Yes.
So that, but again, that's not even the point of it. It's really, it's the 4 day off thing that threw me for a massive, massive loop that I didn't like I didn't know bachelor parties were supposed to go that. Like, that's not a bachelor party, that's a vacation.
Now, we got a bachelor party expert, I believe, that's on air routinely here at the Grid. I mean, should we be asking this
guy
questions?
You know what? Actually,
yeah.
Should I shoot him a text and see if he'd call in?
Yeah, that would be good.
On the subject?
Yeah.
Let me text him.
Now, we're not going to release who this is because we don't want to be like, you know what? We couldn't get him on and he big timed us. So, but if he does big time us, we'll let you know exactly who it is.
100%.
We'll get to
100%. Right under the bus.
But I figure a good way to start out, because we're going to have baseball talk. We're going to talk Final Four. We're going to get into a lot of things. But that is always something that the people out there listening to the show, very opinionated on that. Because he either love them, hate them, don't care for them, don't want to go, give me more of them. I hope the next 15 friends I have include me in their groom's party because I want to go to as many bachelor parties as I can. Now me, I don't really get down like that all the way. But 4 days during football season for a content guy, I need to see the faces on upper management there with that one. Come on back. Let's have some fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're locked into the Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
I mean, one of the worst things in the world, people. Getting texts and there's no way to stop it. It just keeps flooding your text box and there's no way to mute text messages, group chat, just going off the hook. And again, we're going to get to the sports here, but as we just brought that up, it's K-Dub saying, like, all right, I'm in a group chat with these people. You can't shut off the notifications in a group chat. I'm sorry.
Everybody knows it.
Sometimes they just die down, because why I say that is I have a group chat with multiple family members that sometimes fires up on a birthday party, and I get angry because everybody has to hit the like button and comment, and it just crushes my phone. But the wife, who, again, good Samaritan she is, she goes to the city every Easter and gets Easter bread. Delicious. But she always asks everybody if they want some, and of course they do, and then my phone gets exploded, and I have to give her a piece of my mind last night about doing that nonsense. You want to do that, use your own phone. You individually text 20 people, however, they communicate with you. Why am I in here? And Easter bread, like, love, love. Stop the madness, man.
That's good. That's good. You know what's funny is, here's a little behind the scenes I'll give the people, and then we can move on. Last night, me, Donnie, and early line producer Brian, there was a quick exchange over the North Texas game.
Yeah.
And the thing is as those texts were flying, I'm like, well, 33% of this group chat is not awake.
Yeah, by the way, I haven't even been in there yet. So, but I did see like one. I've never even made it in.
I haven't.
Because when I wake up sometimes, I have like four or five, but I just don't get to it. And then I just forget about it. So the marker doesn't stay up on my phone when I check like at least one message. I didn't even actually go in there. So tell me what happened in my own chat here.
It was basically just, I can't believe what happened in the Wisconsin North Texas.
Wow. Nope.
That is the gist of it. So, I'm not saying you missed a ton, but that's also pretty good that you. That, by the way, was not some like 20 message exchange. That was six.
Yeah. Like every 3 minutes, somebody just hitting a like button in there enough to drive me like insane because I can't get out of this overall chat. Mm-hmm. But that's here and there. And if anybody has any comments here on OKDub, what he should do with a 4 day bachelor party during football season, mind you, it's not like awesome, man, you're going to get drunk and watch football. Like, no, that's actually like a work season. That's a tough time to get off. Should K-Dub take time off?
Or are the people going to call him like, well, he always takes time off. So, yes, K-Dub's going to take a vacation during football season. 844-843-6879. Tomorrow, Major League Baseball gets underway. The Aces, Kevin, all over the place tomorrow in Major League Baseball. And you're seeing some of these totals, which, you know, I get so excited about. 7.5, 6.5, 7.5, 6.5, 7, 7.5, 9. Oh, a 9. Minnesota and Kansas City. Why? It's Lopez and Greinke. So at least you have a chance there. Then Detroit, Tampa, yeah, 6.5. Another 9 spot in Baltimore and Boston. But then again, 7.5, 6.5, 7.5, 8.5, 7.5. I mean, we're not looking for a lot of runs tomorrow, even if it's supposed to be supported basically by everything being now in the offense's favor.
But I might bet, but what is it, 3 of them, 6.5s? Yeah. I might bet them all over tomorrow. I might bet all of them over because
like pitchers aren't going long, right? Like we aren't going 90.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And also, look, as we talked about though, the rule changes are, and we like them, but they are they're beneficial for the offense, obviously. So, like here, I think this is basically what I would say. And I don't know if those changes are enough to move every total a half run or a full run. But if I told you that Scherzer, Alcantara are going head-to-head last year, that total 6.5, right? So there's no adjustment on this number. And I just wonder, and again, I'm not sure if I'll do this, but I think I will. I might bet all them over, and the idea basically being 6.5 shouldn't happen anymore. We shouldn't do 6.5s anymore. And see if that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, it's all in your favor, too. Like, like, let's just say DeGrom is dealing against the Phillies. So I don't know if he's going 9 innings, 8 innings, or even 7 innings at this point as you try to stretch him out. Still, though, ghost runners, bigger bases, pitch clock might throw some things off, might keep you in rhythm, might actually help the pitcher. We don't know. Maybe just, hey, man, I'm firing here, and this guy can't adjust his batting gloves 37 times to try to delay me just firing heaters in here at him. So we'll see if it plays out, but I'm excited. It's hard to handicap opening day other than me, Kevin. Two-team Moneyline Parlay, Braves and the Padres. Two massive sides. But I just look at that and go to myself, all right, I mean, Corbin's okay, but Fried and Lantner is so much better than Washington, who has like a 58.5 or whatever team total. And then I am pretty high, obviously, here on the San Diego Padres. They play at 4 o'clock. It's snow on the mound versus Marquez. Colorado, okay. But even, check this, Kevin, ready? San Diego tomorrow, 1 o'clock first pitch, 55 degrees. I mean, come on, what? You got to at least be in the 70s out there at this point. And then maybe a drizzle? So don't tell me we're headed down this path. What's St. Louis got? 66. Okay, so what'd they get in there? Let's see. Yeah, Houston. Oh, hold on. Let's check Houston, Kevin. 72. Yeah, that roof's closed. 72 degrees, that's freezing cold down there. The worst fans of baseball.
Probably so the certainly hottest. They're gonna, it'll be at any ballpark other than like L.A.?
Yeah. 72, that's ridiculous. Turn the air conditioning on. We can't actually be out here. But a lot to get to. And tomorrow on the early line, we'll be going over a lot of these games. But preface by saying, baseball is a statistics game. Other than saying, like, wow, he was really good last year. I think he's going to be good this year. You're not going off of much.
So, yeah, I'm actually really excited to get going for anybody that doesn't remember. But last year I found a really nice stretch doing the strikeout prop, which I know have become very, very, very popular for people. And I think, you know, everybody's got different ways they go about it. But for me, what I was doing now – it was always beneficial to have extra information, which you don't have the first month of the season, right? How a guy has actually been performing towards a number and how often a team strikes out or how often, of course, if a team is not striking out. But the two main pieces for me were just a pair of projection systems and seeing if they both beat a number, whether that was over or under. So I won't be, I don't, I'm not going to be completely shy tomorrow. I want to see what checks in, obviously. I don't know, like, are the projection systems as strong in April as they are maybe in June, July, August? So there's obviously a lot that has to get sorted out. And we know that. You always say that, right? I mean, you're still pretty far away, I think, from giving people a team total with the signal and all that.
Yeah, I'm hoping, because I'm so excited by like all, like, I don't want to miss out, but like, hey man, remember the 7.5s where they were like a team, like sides of teams were scoring 7 runs in games because of baseballs allowed to go through, pitchers not being stretched out, you know, easier to score runs at this point. So I'm excited by that, and I hope I'd have some numbers where it's like, hey, this just makes some sense. This team's playing good baseball. They scored 6 runs in 4 straight games. Let's ride the hot hand. I mean, that all is going to be a difference, but just looking here on ESPN, looks like what it was, 26 minutes the pitch clock saved off of spring training games from last year to this year, and offense was actually up higher. So it's exactly what you want to happen here. And again, tomorrow, watch it play out. And most people, including myself, Kevin, I haven't sat down with a spring training Phillies game and watched the full 9 innings to say, oh, let me get a full, like, it's bits and pieces, dipping in. Okay, look, this looks pretty good, but I haven't watched a full 9 innings, and that's what I'm looking forward to, sitting back on my couch and like getting immersed in it where I can have a true opinion. Now, I already know my opinion is probably going to be like, oh, man, you know what? I wish they went back to no pitch clock and put the shifts back in. That's never going to happen because I think it's wonderful, and once you get used to it, you're never going to want to take it away. It'd be like having, what, 1985. I believe the last year the shot clock was not in college basketball when Villanova upset Georgetown. Have we ever heard anybody go like, you know, man, it was so much better back in the day. No 3-point line, no shot clock, 4 corners offense where 5 minutes left to go in the game. You just went in the 4 corners and tried to waste the rest of the clock. Another team couldn't do anything about it. Like, nobody says that. Nobody says that. If it actually had an impact on the game, like something like this. All right, it's getting really hard to hit. So there's going to be no outfielders this season. Like, you can't have anybody in the outfield. Hit a ball in the outfield, guys are going to run for days and we'll score 20 runs a game. Like, nobody's saying that. Everything is for the betterment of the game. And what we've always complained about with baseball sometimes, it's too slow and boring. This cuts down on the too slow and the boring, which, again, makes too much sense.
Well, it is actually an interesting thing to think about how often people complain. There is nobody that complains like, man, I wish the 3-point line didn't exist in the NBA, right? Like, that isn't even
yes, correct.
You know, everybody complains about everything. Now, but the idea is, it probably did exist when they first introduced the 3-point line. This is so stupid. This is so terrible. Why does this exist at all? So,
what a change to the game, too, by the way. That just, like, we don't even talk about that much. Like, what's the equivalent of, like, a touchdown being 13 points? Like, do you see what I'm, like, or 10 points? It's such an interesting thing where, or, like, you can't throw a touchdown pass inside the 10. You know, like, it's wild. Like, even field goals being moved back, like, as extra points is different. But, boy, if we had Twitter in 19-whatever, where the 3-point line came in the NBA, that would be so wild to read about.
Well, it's funny because whenever they talk about a 4-point shot, people are like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, why would you even possibly do that?
Yeah.
But, like, to me, like, basketball without a 3-point shot, like, it's not even the same sport. Like, it doesn't even feel right, like, to even, like, I don't think the game should exist without a 3-point shot. Like, it's such a key part of everything in basketball. Yeah, like, when I said field goal, like, I'm trying to, like, come up with an equivalent like that. The closest equivalent you could have, I guess, would be you get more points the further the field goal is.
But yeah, 40 yards, 4 points, 50 yards, 5 points, 60 yards, 6 points. How great would that be? 6-point field goal where teams just get across midfield like, hey, Justin Tucker, we're not even going to try to score touchdowns. See if you can blast this 60-yarder for 6 points.
Again, the problem, and this is just all obvious stuff to people here, but the reason why the NBA can make a change like that and no other sport can is how scoring is just far more frequent in the NBA, totals in the 240s, to every other sport with totals that are 200 less.
By the way, too, if you didn't know, maybe the world's biggest spectacle this weekend, everybody's favorite, WrestleMania, K-Dub, which I think I need your take on. Because why? Pretty soon you might be able to gamble on it, people. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on Moneyline on a Wednesday afternoon as we await Major League Baseball opening day tomorrow, the extravaganza, the long, long summer ahead. We'll have fun. We'll be picking home run, you know, winners each night, blasts. We're going to be picking doubles over 1.5 bases. Oh, my goodness. There's going to be so much stuff to do. And from the content perspective, Kevin, it's nice just to lay that out on the platform where every – you don't have to go like this. Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. No baseball on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like, no. Every show we do will have something to do with Major League Baseball. And I'm here for it. And it's going to be a ton of fun there. So if you want to call in, you have any thoughts here? Pitch clock, Major League Baseball, how are you attacking the early part of the season? Because it's something we haven't seen before. And I'm interested to see how it plays out. 844-843-6879 as we keep it moving forward. Where do you want to go now? You want to go a little baseball, you know, NBA action, Joel Embiid tonight. Like the floor is out there. Like we have so many nice topics that we can hit and stray on.
We do. I guess there's still some baseball mojo for me. Let me start peppering you with a couple of questions.
Go.
Here's the one that I want to get to because you've mentioned this now many a times in the build up to the year. Hitter prop parlays. And I'm curious for you, do you think that, I don't want to say overtake team totals, but obviously with the expected uptick in offense and the numbers that you have, do you think that you could see a hitter prop parlay be more of the focus point for you on a day-to-day? Where, you know, team totals, they maybe, what, 2-3 a week, but the hitter prop parlays are a daily thing that you think you can kind of find an advantage with?
Yeah, there's no reason why you can't find a hitter prop parlay on a day-to-day basis. There's especially early in the season, you're just betting on, I think, you know, Judge can get a base hit, or I'm thinking Stanton can get a base hit, or, you know, Abreu can get a base hit. But there are going to be matchups that make some sense. And also, we have to remind ourselves, the price points, I'm interested to see where they are, because you are going to see more base hits. The thing that I brought up on one of the shows we did, I believe it was the early line, the last 3 years are the three lowest seasons in Major League Baseball for singles. Think about that. Singles should be the easiest base hit you can get, Kevin. Put your bat on the ball, squeak it through the infield, you're in. Doubles are hard to come by. Triples are hard to come by. Home runs are even harder to come by. But it almost felt like it was easier for you to bet getting a double than just a base hit because everybody was just swinging from their heels. Chances are you'll catch one. Hopefully it hits the seats. Obviously a home run or a triple counts for the over 1.5. But now as I look at it and say, well, if just ground balls can get through, which they weren't doing in the past, you take like a three-team, you know, hitter prop parlay on three good batters to get one base hit in a game where now these are the best in the business. And you're talking about, Kevin, mostly from the left-hand side, the pure pull hitters, who how many times over the past, I don't know, five seasons when the shift really started to take effect where you would see a rocket into right field. And I'm not talking about, Kevin, just a line drive to the right fielder. I'm talking a dead line drive sinking base hit where it's like, oh, look at that. The second baseman made a diving catch in the outfield. That's no longer going to be the case here. You're not going to get robbed on that. So those elite hitters from the left side of the plate, they're going to be doing damage. They're like, oh, ripped it. That's usually, whoa, nobody's there. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very exciting. But let me put this a step forward. One of our favorite, you know, jokes that's not a joke is the way hitter prop parlays turn out for you. You are the king of having a three-man hitter prop parlay, two of the guys go deep and the other guy doesn't get involved. Honestly, like, I know it doesn't, it's very odd, and I know you experimented with it last year, but it always appears to me that the numbers you use, while, of course, a hit is a part of it, they really are home run-driven numbers.
Power statistics.
Yes. And going out there and being like, look, I got a six-play card, everybody's, you know, 7-1 or better. It's like, wow, that's your, I know that isn't usually how people bet, but do you think you're going to be involved with home run props at all beyond Dinger Tuesday? What's the read on that?
Yeah, home run props, typically for me, outside of like Dinger Tuesday, they're not as appealing. Because again, like a guy that hits a ton of home runs, let's just say 35, it's 162 baseball games, right? And you're not going to just say, okay, I got to hit all his 35 home runs. Like, no, you don't do that. You're not just picking a guy every single night to hit a home run. But the ones that start to open your eye are not even, Kevin, like over 1.5 bases. I started to get really into the RBI prop last year, which meant like a home run would count, right? Like, oh, I missed out on the plus 320, but to get an RBI, he was plus 175. And the way to do that, because you're looking at positions and also runs scored. They're so much fun to have because, again, it's not as if, like, oh, he didn't get a home run. You catch an RBI, which you're a guy, like, let's just say, you know, in the cleanup spot, third runner on third, one out, fly ball, boom,
perfect night. There's that RBI in the door, and they usually play plus money. RBI props are fun. Base hit props are fun. Those parlays are fun. I do like to bet the home run props, but it's not something that, you know, every single night you like to dip into because it's not something that happens every night for that player. Now, granted, sometimes I do joke, and we do joke, hey, I'm going to put there a 14 parlay of players, and everybody hits a home run. It's like, well, I had them all just to get base hits. Boy, that would have paid 35-1 instead of paid me plus 104, right? So it does make some sense sometimes to splash or go up the chain. But I don't know if I'm going to be influenced. And also, Kevin, how about this angle? Let's just, again, Bryce Harper, left-handed batter at the plate, right? Just going to try to gas things up. He has two strikes on him. He's just like, hey, you know what? I got 16 guys to the right side of the field. Like, I'm just going to try to outpower them and hit one into the seats. Do these guys now just change up maybe two strikes and go, boy, if I just put the ball in play on the right-hand side, it's a base hit. It's a base hit now where it was never even a chance to have a base hit in the past. Like, I don't think they're going to change their swings per se, but is that thought process now where, wow, like if I just, you know, have a solid at bat, I have a legitimate chance, like BAPIP, right? Ball's in play. Mm-hmm. Like, I can get a base hit now.
Yeah, it changes things a ton. And again, that's why, though, I ask for you, do you want to go the extreme over the fence? But if there's going to be more hits, that's such a good, interesting point. If guys are going to start to change their approach, you'll notice, you know, this morning, I mean, we only did two of them, but I did two strikeout props. I'm worried about season-long home run numbers. I just don't know what to expect ever when it comes to baseball. Can I actually tell you a prop I actually really want to bet, though, from a season-long home run angle? I'm curious if you'll, you know, yes, no, or indifferent on it. It was on DraftKings, though, so we obviously couldn't talk about it this morning. It's a head-to-head bet, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, more home runs.
Wow.
I'm not ignorant to how many home runs Mike Trout is capable of hitting.
Yeah.
But when you win that bet because Mike Trout only played 70 games, like, am I, like, because it's very bettable odds on Judge. If I remember correctly, maybe minus 140 might be less.
Yeah.
Am I, like, does that jump off the page to you when I say it, Judge versus Trout season long?
Yeah, because Judge should absolutely drill him into the ground. Like, a bad season for Judge right now, You're penciling in 42 home runs. Bad, right? 42 home runs.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember, as I talked about it this morning, home runs. I said, okay, Vladdy Jr. is going to go off. Why? Look at the ballparks these guys playing consistently here in the Northeast. Tiny. You got 81 games where Aaron Judge plays in one of the smallest ballparks in Major League Baseball on that right field porch. Yeah. Then you go out west to Mike Trout. That's not a hitter's ballpark in Anaheim. They're not. The A's don't have a hitter's ballpark. Seattle, one of the worst hitter's ballparks. See how that lines up? It's not to say that the player can't do it, which Mike Trout can hit 45 home runs. You know, we've seen it. But if I'm just going on and saying, okay, let's just say they both play the same exact number of games, you'd be a fool, an absolute fool even, not to bet at Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I look at that number. And again, it's kind of funny, as much as I've joked about people saying that they like an under on a guy because he's going to get injured in a singular game, that doesn't make sense. But betting a prop against Mike Trout for the course of the year because of an injury, well, that does make sense, right? Yeah. Like, if they hung a Mike Trout over under games played market, oh, would it be 120 and a half? Like, wouldn't the expectation be he misses, like, at least 40 games?
Yeah. Or one of those where it's like, hey, Trout's getting close to come back. Hey, seemingly he's working off the tee around the All-Star break. Where's Mike Trout? I don't know. He just never came back. Like, that's what we're doing. Is he like Dame Lillard, like next year, like, hey, you know what? We're three games out at the break, and we don't think we can make the playoffs. Now, hey, Mike, take the rest of the year off again. Like, we're not going to see something like crazy like that. I mean, enough with that nonsense here.
Right. No, it's such a...
Let's see what we got here.
It's such an oddity there. I think, but they have Trout season-long numbers. Oh, that's the other thing we didn't get to this morning.
What do we got?
Now, we worry about it less for hitters, and the pitchers, there weren't many big names. But injuries being picked up because of the World Baseball Classic in terms of fatigue, a sport that is so fatigue-driven. Thoughts on that? Is that even something you're considering? I guess it's more so if you're betting season-long wagers. That's where it factors in, and obviously we're still at that point on the calendar, but is that something you've thought about at all?
What do you mean, like they played extra games, they had to ramp it up, and now you go into the Major League Baseball season where you're like, this is, they extended it 2 weeks? It plays into it probably a little bit there, but I also would probably counteract that and say you might actually get a jump early season from some of those people that played in the WBC, like a Trey Turner. Like, he's locked in. facing very good pitching in high leverage situations right out of the gate, as opposed to, you know, you're facing the pitcher who has a number of 176 on his jersey, just throwing you meatballs up there. And as you get ready and you're looking to golf in the afternoon. So maybe that helps, but I do think there might be something to that, which again, Kevin, is why the true starting pitchers for Team USA weren't there. Like the dominant guys, because you would be foolish to say, like, hey, man, every August, like, I labor. Like, I'm going to throw an extra 35 innings before the season starts. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah. Now, can I get you one last piece of baseball here within the segment? So, yes. You know, we're tweeting out the clips from the show this morning. They sent out my World Series prediction. And I quote tweeted it, and I said, I got the Dodgers beating the Blue Jays, and then I tagged Gabe. I said, it's the Gabe Bowl. And he wrote back to me, this is the best, you couldn't ask for a better tweet. He writes back, I'm close to picking the same matchup. We'll announce tonight. I just love that so much. I love that so much. Hey, like, and by the way, I'm not slandering anybody having the same matchup as me. Of course, I want as many people to agree with me as possible, because that means I feel good about my pick. But look, those are the two teams that obviously Gabe has his connections to. It's not surprising to hear that he's interested in picking the same matchup there, Donnie. It's not.
L.A. and Toronto all the way, bet them through. Yeah, that's probably what we're going to end up getting is that matchup overall. But, like, from the futures market perspective of, like, picking teams, I'm usually not very good because I don't lay the groundwork, like, in the season. I can narrow it down. Like, now I'm in the August, and this is going to be a tough series, and if they're healthy, maybe they don't win that. Like, I don't care about that. Same thing, like, last year I picked the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl and actually cashed out a ticket for a small profit before things really went off the rails for the Bills. But I was feeling good about the Bills the same way, like, don't let me down, UConn. Like, don't let me down, UConn. You can't have a better ticket in your pocket than UConn at, let's just say, like, I have it 25-1 with the Final Four the way it's shaping up, with your team. I even see some of the futured lines. If, let's just say, UConn wins and who they actually meet, it's 5.5, 6.5. Like, you can't have it better, because usually you hold a ticket like, oh, man, toss-up game. Because technically the UConn-Gonzaga game was a toss-up with the line, which they pasted Gonzaga. Like, don't let me down. I will lose all hope on futures if I finally got it right with UConn and they lost to FAU in the final. Like, that would be enough for me having me retire.
No, that would be here is the thing.
I think I'm going to opt out. I think in the final. You know why?
Break you.
Let's just say it's FAU. It's 2,600 the return one way. But it's not as if, Kevin, I'm taking a line. It's like, no, I got the favorite, so I got to lay 800 to win 500. Like, if I put 500 on the final with FAU, it's going to be over 2-1, which would be a grand return. So it's not like you bet 500, you get 500 back. You would double that. So I'm actually starting to think about that. That's if UConn beats Miami, which I hope that they do. So a lot of hot topics here left on the plate. One more segment before we hit hour number two. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Quick little segment here before we hit the top of the hour. In hour number two, we'll take your phone calls, 844-843-6879. Going to find out where JP is going. Yesterday, I believe, he did have a parlay. Did that parlay win? Or did you take Wisconsin? Wow.
Conference USA special.
How about that? He got it done, K-Dub.
Who's the one loser in Conference USA? Who's the team that wasn't able to get it done? Does anybody know? Was it NIT? Was it CBI? Like, what's the...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's because I think they're 16-1.
Jeez. That's the new basketball mecca hot wave here. All right, so now with the NIT, I assume the NIT is not playing tonight. They would have a game tomorrow.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
When is it, JP?
It's
JP's our NIT guy.
Yes. UAB North Texas, sensational game. By the way, we're going to get into at the top of the hour what actually happened in the North Texas Wisconsin game. Something just should never happen, actually happen. But tonight, we do have a full NBA card, JP. I assume that's where we're going. Is that correct?
You are not. When you're cashing college basketball parlays like this, you're looking ahead to Saturday.
All
right, so we got Saturday action.
I already know his pick. If his pick is not, come on now. Let's all try and pay attention.
Uh-huh.
If his pick is not what it is, that's crazy.
Yeah, if it's not FAU. If it's not FAU.
Oh, this guy. Was it another money line parlay?
No, but it's both games.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, I know one of them.
That's the FAU. We'll figure out. You stamping that in automatically?
Yeah, I mean, you want to, like, we can do the other prediction in the other hour. Like, if he's if it's not FAU after this Conference USA thing, that'd be the craziest thing of all time.
The Bucks said Conference USA. Now it's time. He could be sharp. Like, you know, ride the wave up, but make sure you don't get caught. And come back down here, pick up a couple dubs here. San Diego State looking kind of cheap at -1.5. UConn out here in these streets, -5.5 versus Wong and Pack. Woo! Connecticut going to be smoking that pack. Yeah, there you go, man. Same wavelength right there. Smoke that pack, Canes. Smoke it. We'll be right back. Hour number two on the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.